on today's Compassion Radio.
I think there's a sense that we belong to our brothers and sisters in far-off places, and they belong to us. Without them, we would not be complete. In Hebrews 11, we're completed by those people.
Yeah.
People in this country have every reason to be in mourning, to be fearful and depressed and concerned, but they also have opportunities that they may not have seen to help your neighbor, but also that the people in that huge refugee camp are in even worse shape.
Back with me today is Dr. James Jennings of Conscious International. We've talked a lot about how God prepared the church and used the church to open the floodgates of God's Spirit and kingdom building around the world across all of these centuries. We're in the middle of this point of inflection. I believe strongly another one of those stories that will be told over generations about how the church responded. So Dr. Jennings, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. That is exactly right. I think that your historic view, when you think ahead and look ahead, that people will look back at this as a disastrous time, but a heroic time, and time of opportunity. And it's a very, very difficult one, as I don't have to tell you. Most of the analysts have said that people are grieving. Within 1 or 2 months, they had their life taken away, their employment taken away, their health taken away, their normal social activity taken away. All of these things happened, and it leaves us in a deep grief and despondency. And so how do we get out of that? And I think this has to do with the way God's created us as human beings. We have a conscience as part of the imago Dei, or the image of God given at creation. We are in that sense like God's spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so Conscience International, which I founded more than 25 years ago, and we've been in 30, 40 countries around the world and helped so many people with millions of dollars of aid and thousands of volunteers and all of that in many of the most difficult countries. It all is based on responding to that inner voice of conscience.
Yeah.
I think George Washington wrote in his schoolboy copybook, do not neglect to listen to that spark of divine light in your heart, which is called conscience.
Mm.
I thought that was beautiful. And then the other thing is that in the world in which we live, so much is done that is destructive in the terms of war. And it was President Eisenhower, who is a general, said that the weapons of war are not just destroying people, but they're taking bread that could otherwise be used to feed children. So our efforts ought to be, as we know from the New Testament, we're called to peace, and our efforts should be toward peace, building up of others instead of destroying them. So these are things that come from our heart. And the other important thing is that once you engage in an act of charity, whatever it is, it actually elevates you as a person, and it strengthens you in your inner being, and you're fulfilling your ultimate humanity by doing so.
Every time I've seen some of the people that travel with you walking along those very dusty roads, Africa, Middle East, and they get a chance to see the faces at the end of those roads, you see the people that have gone transformed, even more so than those who are helped that receive the aid that you're bringing. And it's marvelous for me to be able to be witness to that from time to time. We know that we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus when we're close to him. The Mount of Transfiguration comes to mind for me. Jesus, when he's close to his Father, and when the Spirit decides to be very visually present, just overwhelming and overflowing on that mountain, just transformed even Jesus. And those who were around him to watch that were never the same. They knew that he was on a different level than the average human. There was something about him that was above and beyond. People see that in us. They see the spark of divinity, of Jesus and his Spirit present in us because we were willing to obey and follow him into the thick of things. The thick of things right now for you, Doctor, is not so straightforward. I mean, the stories that we talked about over the past few years are straightforward kinds of relief issues. There's a war going on. How do Christians respond? Where do we go? Where does the money get sent? How do we feed? How do we clothe? How do we inoculate? How do we heal? Because that's what we're called to do. But the stories you're going to tell me today are things that God orchestrated that seemed straightforward at the time, but God knew what was right around the corner. And if it didn't get orchestrated at that moment, his plan to answer prayers of Christians around the world for years would not have transpired, because if it had started now, it would have been impossible. So tell me about the groundwork that was laid for both your recent project that's going into Niger and Venezuela.
Well, often we've gone into war zones and into dangerous areas and felt that we were protected as we were doing that. A lot of our work has been in hospital wards and doing surgery and then in refugee camps and the tents with those people. But all you have to do, and what we did, was respond to the Macedonian call, or people on the other side of this world who said, please help us, we need help. And so we take a look at just the bare statistics from the United Nations, the World Health Organization, many other groups. And we found that in West Africa, the country of Niger, or Niger as some people call it, is one of the two or three lowest in the world in terms of its poverty and its condition.
Yeah.
And then you look at the child mortality rates. It's one of the highest of child mortality rates in the world. It's the absolute highest number of what they call fertility rate, the number of children per woman. It also has a great difficulty with providing vitamins for children, and also treating women who have had so many childbirths that they are in desperate condition.
And mostly as a result of food insecurity, correct?
Yes, the whole thing is keyed to that, and this country is largely on the edge of the Sahara in the western part of Africa. There are incredible needs there, and so by doing that, we went with our medical doctor, Dr. Gail Anderson, who's our medical director, and has traveled in many places in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, many other places. And we went there, we met with the Minister of Health, with the American ambassador, with hospital directors, and with the women who are lying 2 weeks in the courtyard in the hot sun, 100 degrees, lying on a blanket, waiting to get a chance to have surgery that is needed. They're in such bad shape that they've been rejected by their husbands and divorced and left there. So when you see that kind of suffering, you cannot help but respond. So we were able to connect with two great institutions here. Here in my part of the world, in Georgia, in Atlanta, there is MedShare, which has a huge warehouse with many medical supplies, and with MAP, Medical Assistance Programs, founded by Ray Knighton and Christian Medical Society many years ago, and that's in Brunswick, Georgia, and they have all the drugs that we can obtain and send. So for $50,000, we can send a container of medicine that might be worth many millions of dollars.
Yeah.
For $25,000, we can send a container that's 40 foot long and from MedShare with medical supplies that may be worth $250,000. So when people give money to Conscience International, we triple it by making $1 into $3 in that way.
And getting lots of favors along the way, too.
By shipping those things to people who have need. We've done that in Sudan, Iraq, Bangladesh, Nigeria. When there was a state hospital, a huge government hospital in Nigeria that we went to visit, and many of the faculty and board there are Christians, but the hospital closed down because they didn't have supplies. The workers walked off and said, we don't have any supplies, we can't do our work. Our container that we've been working on for months, and you put it in the queue, you don't know how long it'll take to get there. It may take 2 months to travel by sea. It got there. They opened it up on television for the whole nation to see that now the hospital can go back to work because we have this 40-foot container of medicine sent by Conscience International. The same thing is going to happen this week in Niger, which, as I said, is a very needy country. And so then we look for opportunities. We look at statistics. We connect with people who have invested their lives in those countries, whether it's Bangladesh, whether it's Sudan, Egypt, or any other country. Right now, we are sending, and I know that we cannot send our personnel on airplanes. I just got back from Egypt on the 28th of February, and right in the nick of time when the coronavirus hit in such a big way in the United States. Luckily, we missed that, and with the Lord's protection. You know, we can't send people abroad so easily as before. We would send hundreds of volunteers. Now, we are relying on our in-country partners that we trust in Haiti to put roofs on houses in Colombia and Guatemala to build some houses in Guatemala, feed children in Colombia and in Venezuela and other places. In Turkey, we're doing restoration of limbs of people who were injured and handicapped in the Syrian war. So all those things are opportunistic. We see where the needs are, and then we try to find people who have a heart for this kind of work and cooperate with us to help.
The deeper story for me on these two particular projects we're discussing today, first Niger and then Venezuela, is that it came to your heart and your mind and to your attention at a time when there were so many other fires around the world that could have been paid attention to. You, for some reason, felt compelled to focus on these. If you had not at that time, there would have been no window open in the future because everything was getting more and more tenuous and travel was suddenly going to collapse. And who in the world would have imagined that world travel would cease to exist in 3 weeks' time? And how hard it is even now to get around our own country.
Nobody could have imagined that. And two months later, here we are with 10 million people unemployed and it's getting worse. You're very right. But all you really have to do is watch the headlines and then go beyond the headlines, behind the headlines.
Yes.
Go deeper. So for years, when we were working in Iraq, for example, and Iraq was under stringent sanctions, and the children were dying in the hospital wards, and people were begging for supplies and medicine, which was blocked by the nations of the world. Yeah. And we went there in spite of the danger. And we did that by reading a stack of United Nations studies and documents on the health of Iraq, a stack as high as my head, every year. And we'd say, goodness, we have to do something about this, and asking the Lord to help us and protect us and asking people to support our work and doctors to volunteer. We were able to do a great deal to train hundreds of doctors there and nurses in how to do low-tech interventions when they didn't have the supplies or the medicine.
Yeah.
And that's the same is true in Sudan and Iraq, Iran, and many other places.
If God can fight his wars on multiple fronts, then so can his kingdom. He's the commander, after all. He's God of a standing army in the billions and unlimited resources. What he doesn't have is our faith, at least until we start exercising it and offering up our obedience and worship. So, how is the Lord calling you to active service in his kingdom? Hopefully, right where you live, through your local church and service organizations. And I hope you're not forgetting your brothers and sisters around the world that are battling coronavirus and the panic it brings, just like you are. And I'm thrilled that you continue to partner with us in times like this. This unusual media ministry that we are, bringing you the frontline kingdom news you probably won't hear much about anywhere else. Thank you for how your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. If you use our website, make sure to download a copy of Michael O'Brien's beautiful rendition of Were You There? Just a few clicks and the song is yours to encourage and inspire you throughout the day on your computer, phone, or music device. You can also download his entire Crown Hymn album as well. Best of all, you get to name your gift to this ministry. There's no required minimum. Give as the Lord enables you and enjoy Michael's powerful, warm voice for always.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, Lord, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there? God raised him from the grave. Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Oh, Were you there when God raised him from the grave? Were you there when God raised him from the grave?
Every year we'd say, goodness, we have to do something about this, and asking the Lord to help us and protect us, and asking people to support our work and doctors to volunteer. We were able to do a great deal to train hundreds of doctors there and nurses in how to do low-tech interventions when they didn't have the supplies or the medicine.
Yeah.
And that's the same is true in Sudan and Iraq, Iran, and many other places.
I remember over the years when we were challenged with stepping up and our partners to join us in doing intrepid things like smuggling Bibles into closed countries, standing relief supplies into refugee camps that no one else had been to, couldn't get to, they thought. When the decision was made to be obedient to what the Spirit seemed to be saying, even if it went against all common sense, it looked impossible to start, but the faith came while things were impossible. And then when the faith was exercised, suddenly there was favor, and doors started opening because people were being obedient. I mean, God doesn't need to waste his energy in opening doors that no one's going to walk through. He's got to prepare us to be ready to go through those doors. And so we did that. And when we actually went and saw those things and met you along the way, we discovered that God does open doors if we're obedient, because he wants them opened. He wants the gospel to come through in practical ways and not just theoretical ways. He wants to see people's needs met. He wants to see people's diseases healed. He wants to see wars stop. This is his will, that we would be receptive and open and ready to see that God did these things because he loves them. And you've been doing that very well for these years. So tell me what you expect to see then when this particular shipment gets opened there in Niger. How many lives do you think are going to be saved? And what kind of things are you able to do uniquely with this shipment of supplies to Niger that maybe nobody else on earth could have done?
Well, I think countless people will be helped by this, because I believe there are 100,000-150,000 masks there, and those people have no protection, and they need that. And so I'm glad that that happened. We didn't take it away from the U.S. stockpile because it was sent before the epidemic hit.
Right.
But at any rate, those people are going to be grateful to see it. Bram, I can think of no better example of this kind of compassion and reliance on divine providence. Norm Nelson, who led Compassion Radio program for many years, he was a wonderful friend and a companion that traveled with me on many dangerous countries in Afghanistan, Iran, Sudan, and Iraq, and other places. And Norm had this tremendous faith, and he would take the step forward, and he would see wonderful results. And you know the story about Afghanistan and how they
yes.
were able to reach even the top leadership there before the U.S. war happened there. So that's an example, and this program has supported that kind of thing throughout the years. We have made a close friendship and alliance with you and Compassion Radio, as Conscience International is on the front lines doing this in a number of countries. And we are not sending people out now, but if people volunteer and take the risk, then we will connect them with our partners in country. We only have one travel plan this month, and that is a valiant Christian doctor who's a native of Guatemala. He happens to be in this country right now. He bought a ticket on the airline to go back to his home country, and they canceled it because they're not flying. As soon as they are flying, he's going back there. We're building houses with volunteers from different states, including Mississippi. We've been doing that for several years. We're trying to help feed the children there in Colombia as well, and then to be able to get food into Venezuela. If you read the news this morning, you see that Venezuela has no gasoline, and they have I mean, they produce oil, but they can't refine it and get it to the station, so they have soldiers surrounding every gas station. And of course, the money is worthless, and the people can't find the groceries. So we say to people, so you can't find toilet paper? What if you didn't have a toilet? So you can't find hand sanitizer? What if you didn't have soap and water access? You want a shelter in place? What if you didn't have shelter? I mean, this is what's happening in all these countries, and Venezuela is a good example of how the economy has been devastated. The people are desperate, and I just don't know how they're going to survive, as they would be at the bottom of many of countries in this world right now because of the political situation there.
Of course, the danger of the most at-risk people in the world is that their needs, their story would be just absolutely overwhelmed with the flood of our own stories of the things that we're experiencing. And it's not a comparison game here. I don't want to be in the position of saying, oh, we shouldn't feel or mourn the things that are happening to us because they're so much worse off than we are. The point is that we need to be paying attention to the things that God brings to our attention. Maybe it's going to be our neighbor just next door that we don't know has a great need and we haven't bothered to ask. It may be that God says, no, I want you to stay the course for the thing that your heart committed to me to do on behalf of the least around the world through people like Jim Jennings and Concerts International and Compassion Radio. Maybe it's going to be something totally new, but until we ask God to show us what he wants us to see, we're not going to be praying prayers that are focused and full of life and full of power, I don't think. So I would ask that our listeners pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is nudging them to pay attention to, whether it's a news story you run across that seems to be out of character with the rest of the COVID news you're reading about, whether it's a newsletter you get from some minister you haven't heard from in a while, maybe it's a friend that sends you an email, whatever God brings to your attention, however he does it, to pay attention. I just want to say a word of gratitude, too, for all the years that our Compassion Radio listeners have stepped up and been part of projects like what Jim Jennings is doing throughout all these different needy regions of the world. It's not just that they're needy. It's that God is saying, this is where the need is that I want to meet. Jim's been very faithful and obedient to go there. So I look forward to finally traveling with you to these places again, too.
Well, I think you're right. I think there's a sense that we belong to these people who are our brothers and sisters in far-off places, and they belong to us. I think there is a text I'm thinking in Scripture about without them, we would not be complete, in Hebrews 11. We're completed by those people.
Yeah.
Now, I think you're right when you mentioned that people in this country have every reason to be in mourning, to have every reason to be fearful and depressed and concerned. But they also have opportunities that they may not have seen. One is across the street, as you said, to help your neighbor. And I think some really wonderful things can develop out of this crisis for Christian people
Yes.
throughout the United States. But also, there will be some people, as you say, who realize that hey, we're in bad shape, but the people in Bangladesh in that huge refugee camp are in even worse shape. So the next few months, this is not going to happen all at once, but in the next few months, people will become aware that Africa and Latin America and Southeast Asia have maybe far greater disaster in terms of their society and their economy and even high death rates than we have. Because we have ways of dealing with it, thanks to our wonderful, courageous, heroic healthcare workers.
And our freely flowing water and electricity and technology.
Yes. I don't see how we can avoid, as a rich country and as many people have a good lifestyle here, I don't see how we can avoid, even if our stock market takes a plunge, helping others. I said to one person, well, I don't have any stocks and bonds, but I do have Philippians and 1 Corinthians and
yes.
Romans and I have that as promises.
Taking stock of your spiritual wealth right there.
So it's really an opportunity. It's a dreadful time. It's a difficult time, but it's one of the greatest opportunities in 2,000 years of church history
Yes.
to transform ourselves and to say what the church really is and what it should be.
Amen to that, friend. And Doctor, you've been a great wisdom giver for us over the years. I do pray for your health and your strength in these times because we need you, and we need Conscious International out there doing what it does. That's just a very practical thing to say. On the spiritual level, we need compassion exemplified for us so we know what it looks like when it's called upon us to do the same. So friends, buck up, be praying hard, open up your hearts to what God may have you do in compassion right where you are, and know that we are praying for you too. And we look forward to telling you good God stories about how he orchestrated things to happen that we couldn't even imagine. Thank you again, Doctor, for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Amen, and thank you, Bram, for your leadership and your insight.
Pentecost, known to the early Christians as the birth of the church. It is a season of growth and harvest. In fact, Pentecost has been known as the Feast of Harvest since the time of Moses. For 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, God was growing a new kind of life in his disciples that burst forth into spiritual fruit. the likes of which the world had never known. That fruitfulness and harvest continue to this day. We'll focus on these themes over the next few weeks, so I encourage you to walk this adventurous path along with us. And make sure to download your copy of Michael O'Brien's marvelous new rendition of Were You There from our website. Just look for the link at CompassionRadio.com. We treasure your prayers and support as we pursue all that God has for us in this 77th year of ministry. If you'd like to support the work, your gifts are always welcome at our CompassionRadio.com website or by phone at 1-800-868-2478. You can also text Compassion to 53445 to give right from your phone, or write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. We love you, friends. May God's resurrection power be alive and well within you today.